Today, and timely, I don't know if you guys know it. I think Greg does. Cigarettes are hazardous to your health day. Did you know that was today?
Cigarettes are hazardous to your health every day.
Thanks, Greg. Greg Smith, he's with us this morning. He's with SIH, the Community Health Coordinator. And Michelle McLernan is joining us this morning, the Jackson County Health Department, smoking cessation. You know what I've always thought? By the way, morning. How are you guys?
Good morning.
You know what I've always thought? That we talked about stop smoking, and the word addiction is not used properly when it comes to cigarette smoking. It stops. It is so common. It's not heroin, right? It's not opioids. We don't talk about it. Maybe in the context we should, because of the research over the last few years show us that actually nicotine is more addictive than heroin. And you've got this illicit drug composite here that, addiction, cocaine, but it's just as bad for cigarettes, and you can go down and buy those at the store. Always thought that was kind of a disconnect because we don't appreciate that.
Nicotine, much like heroin, it changes the brain. It changes the brain chemistry. Your brain develops more receptors for the flood of nicotine that comes in when you smoke a cigarette. And when you don't have that nicotine, those receptors cry out, much like, the receptors that are addicted to heroin or other substances. So it is. It is truly a physical addiction, and it's a psychological addiction. It only takes one hand to drink a cup of coffee. What the heck are you going to do with that other hand?
Right. And you're thinking, at some point, smoking cigarette is somewhat more dignified than sucking your thumb, because there is an oral fixation as well. Mm-hmm. I mean, I've known some people who quit. One of my best friends who quit. On his desk, he was a lawyer, he had a glass of Swizzle Sticks. And he put that and chew on that, right?
Right.
As a surrogate.
Right.
I mean, but, here's the thing. SIH, Greg Smith, and Michelle McLernan joining, she's from the Jackson County Health Department. There's a lot of cooperation that goes on between SIH and the health departments. What I think is kind of bothers me a little bit is that we have a much higher smoking statistic in Southern Illinois than the nationwide statistic, which runs about 15.5%, where here it's closer to 20 or 25%. I've seen some different numbers. It's higher.
It's true that it's not just Southern Illinois. Rural communities are at higher risk nationwide, and so we're a predominantly rural area in Southern Illinois, and therefore we're matching that statistic.
Well, it's 25%? Something like that?
A little less than that, but yeah, it's
really
close.
But we're right in that area. Yeah.
And then we add, and I don't know if you were going to go in this direction, but we add the vaping that's happening now with our youth, and we're going to talk about addiction in the way that I think you would appreciate. One cartridge of vaping, for vaping, is equivalent to 20 cigarettes. And so when youth pick up this habit of using vaping, and this has increased to the point where it's an epidemic, the addiction happens at a very young age, therefore the inability to quit, which plagues many, many smokers, will last for a long, long time.
The only people that that I know that have been the most successful in quitting, cold turkey. I don't know if it's just the sheer force of will from my point of view that's required to do that. I had my buddy Red, 2-pack-a-day Marlboro smoker, who put them down and never, ever, ever, not even once, picked them up.
Mm-hmm. It's an individual thing. Cold turkey works for some people. Some people have tried it over and over again, and it just have not been successful. Sometimes people find assistance in groups, or motivation through accountability with friends or family or someone. Maybe people find that motivation for wanting to be a good role model for their grandchildren. They think to themselves, I've been a smoker. I don't want my grandkids to be a smoker. I want to clean up and show them it can be done, and show them they should never start. So there's people find their motivation from many different...
And it's interesting you mentioned that, right? Because that motivation, that's the one that I've heard. The guy that I just talked about, 2-pack-a-day smoker,
He's
a turkey hunter. He loves running up and down the hills. And one day he found out he wasn't running up the hills.
Right.
He was getting ready to lose something that he valued so much that his says, if I want to do that, I've got to stop doing this because it's already affecting me. And there was a motivation. There was a thing behind the thing.
They often call that the tipping point. That's what worked for him.
Yeah. Right. And they find that tipping point that you talk about. Oh, it's dirty. Usually burning hole in your clothes is not sufficient. But thinking that you won't be able to see your grandchild grow up is.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Or a new child or whatever the case. I mean, when it comes to these cessations, classes and seminars, because you want to develop because you're playing a war game here. This is not necessarily so much about individuals, although they're important, but you're looking at this as a big problem and how can we achieve a lower percentage. What's the most successful that you've seen? Michelle, what have you seen?
In terms of intervention?
Yeah, oh, and
believe
getting
it or
people
not,
to stop.
It's at the policy level. So when they started increasing the cost of cigarettes, a whole bunch of people fell
Sin
off.
Tax.
That was their yes. And when they're what they're trying to do right now is change the ability to purchase cigarettes to change it to the age of 21 instead of 18. They successively have done that in Chicago, and they're trying to do it at the state level. So that kind of policy change has a great impact. But then there's those few that are still behind that won't be their tipping point for them. And those are the ones that we target with our classes, with trying to help them find their motivation, see where their trigger points are, and see how we can help them through that.
All right. So what have you seen that when it comes to success that you say, wow, this works?
A couple things we've seen that's very successful is the Illinois Tobacco Quit Line. And that's a free service.
That's back into that getting support outside yourself instead of cold turkey and sitting there for a month and
right.
going, no, I need to smoke.
Right. I mean, it's support with personal counselor, up to 6 weeks of free nicotine replacement therapy patches. It helps them self-direct their own quitting process, but they do have that support. Another program that we have here free of charge in Southern Illinois is Courage to Quit. And that is a program that was developed by the Respiratory Health Association. And it is more of a group therapy situation where people come together and there's six sessions and there's a quit day that's actually scheduled, the third session. And every Courage to Quit program begins with an orientation so the folks can decide if it's really for them. But again, you start finding motivation in accountability. You've got other friends or people. And I think that
I think there's another element that's kind of male to that.
Yeah.
Competition. I've seen that work too among people going, I've gone 7 days. How many days you've gone? I've seen it. I can do it. Can you do it? And you get two people that are competitive inherently. And I've also seen this work in couples. I'm going to quit. You come along. And then competition is a good word for it.
Competition and the support. So when you're talking about couples and two people in the household. If one person is eliminating and the other one is not, that continues to be the trigger for the one who's trying to quit. So it's actually more effective to have the two to do it together.
But here's the problem. When you roll back here and you take these two items that we've talked about so far this morning, addiction, and I mean we're talking about a very real, everyday addiction, dictates your life, literally. If you are addicted, you find a reason to continue to do the drug that you're addicted to. You'll find a reason.
Oh, sure.
I can give you a dozen so right now sitting here myself. I can tell you that there is a reason why, but I'm smart enough to know there's a reason behind it is that thing that's in the back of my head that's addicted is going, no, we'll live together. It'd be all right, buddy. You know, it's going to be okay. Mm-hmm. You don't need to do that. You're not mortal.
That is how it works in the head of somebody who is truly addicted, no matter what the substance would be.
There's two things going on there.
Yeah.
A friend of mine, you know, is a doctor, Dr. Delaney over at Heartland Hospital. He says, you seem like a pretty smart guy. Why would you think that red hot smoke going down your throat that you use to make a living every day is a good idea for you? I don't have an answer for that. But addiction does. Let's leave and we'll go have a cigarette in the parking lot. It'll be all right.
Right. And it'll help you reduce your stress, and it's your best friend in that moment.
And a surrogate for food, too.
Absolutely.
You know, and people concern themselves when it comes to weight. Mm-hmm. Because I like it. That's why.
Isn't it amazing what it takes to change an adult's behavior?
It is.
It's usually something that's very catastrophic. You know, you hear people that never stop smoking until they had that heart attack or that stroke.
Right.
And when you consider that one third of all cancer deaths are attributable to tobacco, I mean, and we all know someone who's had cancer has cancer.
I'm talking with a guy on the phone earlier this week, and he says, diagnosed with popcorn lung. I'm like, what's that? He says, uncurable. That's how I responded.
What that means is I can't breathe.
Right.
I won't be able to breathe. So what does it take? What does it take to change someone's behavior or thought process?
Threats and fear. I wonder.
A little bit of hope.
Well, I like that.
Positivity.
Yeah. Living longer.
Yep.
You know, because this is slow motion suicide.
As you said earlier, the one guy's motivation was turkey hunting. Another two words might be erectile dysfunction.
Right.
You know, hey, whatever gets your attention.
Or maybe just no woman wants to kiss you because you taste like you're a pork chop in an ashtray.
You're walking ashtray.
Right.
Want to watch your grandkid grow up.
Right. And so you bundle all these in. I think, but like I said, but still, that, you know, the monster, the little creeping black monster in the back of your skull goes, you know what? I never let you down, do I? You know, you can go out and get a cheeseburger at a restaurant, and they can blow the order, but the cigarette's always perfect, isn't it? I mean, that you literally, I mean, for an addict, you know, it's your buddy.
And I think what you're tapping into too is this feeling of I cannot do it. And that there's a sense of failure every time you try. And statistically, it takes 7 times on average for somebody to try to quit before they can successfully get there. And that's just the average.
That's a big deal, especially we talked about being competitive. I'm not going to play the game if I'm going to lose. And it's a hard one. You talked about Greg patches a couple of moments ago. Last time I tried to quit smoking, I found out that if I smoke cigarettes with the patches on, that was really good.
Yeah.
Big stimulation, right? I got the patch on and I'm smoking and I've got a vape pen too. I'm like, let's put it all in there at the same time. I mean, I've been sent with guys that got a cigar and a pipe running in the ashtray at the same time, right? I mean, you know, when it comes to this, and he's quit, by the way, but it was the threat of imminent death that did it. Mm-hmm. Got a friend of mine, heart attack a couple of weeks back. They go in the hospital. He's literally put him in the cath lab, and they say, does your family have a history of heart attacks? No. Do you smoke? No. How old are you? Really? Is that all? You shouldn't be having a heart attack. Second question they ask him is if he smoked, and mm-hmm. I'll bet you if he was having a stroke, mm-hmm. it might have been first.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So beyond people finding their motivation, and like you say, you've got those voices in your head. You've also got that voice that says, this needs to stop. And when that voice becomes loud enough, there is help. There are resources. We have a very simple place you can go online if you have internet access and learn about the quit line, the courage to quit. We have free online smoking cessation education that gives you more insight on what it takes to actually kick the habit. And all that's in one simple place that people can go to. So we want to make it easy for people to find those resources and to find that help and to, you know, give that voice a chance that this is something I need to do.
And what's interesting is once you start going to one of these websites, you find some really, this has grown as a body of work on how to quit quite a lot in the last few years, right?
Yeah. So the website I'm talking about that kind of has, you know, these succinct resources
bullet
in
points.
One place.
Yeah.
It's HSIDN.org. That stands for Healthy Southern Illinois Delta Network, HSIDN.org. And on the left-hand side, you just go to resources. And in the list of resources is tobacco cessation and respiratory disease resources. You click on that link and you look at the Courage to Quit. We have online smoking cessation education, information on the tobacco quit line, and there's a link to smokefree.gov. And this is all fantastic information on learning not only the effects of smoking and what it does to your body and, you know, what the ill effects are, but it definitely steers you in the direction of if you want to quit, here's how it can be done.
And Michelle, looks like we've come to the point when we say stop smoking cigarettes that we're going to have to start saying stop smoking cigarettes and vape pens.
Right. It's pretty much any avenue that you're getting the nicotine into your body. And again, I was talking about policy earlier, and Juul, the company that sells some of the cartridges, they
one of the bigger companies,
75% of that market.
I think they just got bought by somebody too, and made the owners billionaires.
Well, they're
trying to figure out who it was that bought them. It just happened 2 weeks ago. It made the owners who started off with this little business.
Was it R.J. Reynolds? I think it was.
I think it might have been R.J. Reynolds.
Yeah.
And they literally made them billionaires out of it.
And back to the policy change, the FDA is putting pressure on them to quit selling the flavored, which is what's attracting the youth to do that. So there's a lot of movement to try and combat the constant economic incentives that people have to continue to put that out on the market.
Don't you find that it's interesting that vape pens were first presented as a way to quit for adults and have now become mainstream for continued consumption?
Absolutely.
I find that interesting.
Yeah.
Once they started making the money from the product, they didn't want to stop because the idea is you quit and this is a funnel out, and then they realize how much money they were making, going, gee, let's make strawberry.
And science has come back to say, no, in fact, it is actually causing more addiction. It's more harm.
I know I spoke with the Attorney General on this subject, too. This is now, of course, she's going to be leaving office, but this is something that she's been very preoccupied on the last, among other things, towards the end of her term. So if somebody, let's say in Jackson County, the health department wants to reach out and they say, you know what, today's the day, I just had a new grandchild, right? I just bought a new car, don't want to smell like cigarettes. Whatever it is, we can always find a reason. Just bought a new house, new couch, don't want to have burn holes. You can find a reason. Is also a good reason.
That'll do it.
What? But what? I mean, if somebody just wanted to reach out today and say, you know what, It's going to snow. I like enjoying myself. I think I'm going to be at home this weekend. It's a good place to start my regular schedule. This is another thing that has become increasingly popular. Stop smoking vacation so that your regular schedule is broken. And you don't say, well, it's 5:50 in the morning. I must have my cigarette on my drive-in, right? Whatever it is. You know, what should they do when it comes to, you know, that first step, calling Jackson County Health Department saying, because I know I can't do it alone. I need help.
Well, they could call us at 618-684-3143, and then we can tap them into the same resources that Greg was referring to at hsidn.org, but we also can tap them into some of the classes that are out in the community, the Courage to Quit classes, kind of guide them through tapping into the quit line that exists, and the quit line is highly effective. So we would be that personal contact to help them get there, as well as contacting SIH and getting through them.
Right. Now, you say 7 times to quit.
Mm-hmm.
On average, 7
right.
times. That's a hard one right there, but you have to realize that, you know, you learn something each time.
Exactly.
And so what do you think? Well, you know, when it comes to reaching out through SIH or somebody who's in Johnson County or Saline County, wherever, and they want to reach out to quit, what's SIH's front door for this?
Go to your family physician.
Yeah?
Just your doctor is your number one resource for helping you with your health. Every physician in Southern Illinois has easy access at their fingertips, the ability to refer you as a patient to the Tobacco Quit Line, the Illinois Tobacco Quit Line, or also give information on the Courage to Quit classes. So that's your number one place to go, is your physician, or as Michelle pointed out, the hsidn.org to get some information on your own. But ultimately, just call your doctor's office and say, hey, this is something I'm considering. Help me.
What do you guys think about Chantix and these drugs, smoking cessation drugs and nicotine gums and things along that line? I hear various inputs. Chantix gave me nightmares. Nicotine gum doesn't help. Well, I mean, these surrogates.
Those are certainly conversations to have with your physician. Your physician knows you better than anyone else, and they also have more insight on those drugs. You can do your own research, hopefully find credible sources online, but ultimately any type of medication conversation should happen with your physician.
You know, it's interesting, almost universally, for everybody I know who has successfully quit, the first thing they tell me, you would not believe how quickly you begin to feel better.
You're
and how much
person.
Better you feel, you know, within yeah. literally, one guy in particular says, 3 days, I could really tell the difference, but I could tell in the first 12 hours.
Right. Absolutely. Actually, in the first 20 minutes, there's some right. physiological signs that things are changing for you.
Blood starts to clear up,
yep.
about, you know, so you've got better oxygen flow because of the carbon monoxide.
Your heart mm-hmm. slows down, your vascular system relaxes, your blood pressure goes down. You start breathing better, your lungs clear up.
21 degrees, and you realize that every time you smoke a cigarette, I think your temperature drops in your fingers around 2 or 3 degrees.
Yeah, that's vasoconstriction.
And, you know, you start realizing that even little things can pile up and improve. And it's never too late.
Mm-hmm.
Well, sometimes it's too late. I mean, you've seen the lifetime, the 5-year life expectancy of somebody with lung cancer.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's, we've waited too long. But you know, there's when we're talking about never giving up, that's probably
that's
a better way to put it.
Actually what it is. Don't give up. And that's why it's called Courage to Quit, is to find that courage within yourself to take that step, whether it's trying to get into the class, talking to your physician, talking to your loved one at home and seeing if there's a way that they can help you through this. So keep giving it a shot, and you just might have a chance of kicking this addiction.
You can do it.